Let's open up with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God, and just every part of it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspired by you, and we just thank you for that. We just pray that you can speak through me this morning, that we can share what's on my heart, and that it's the truth of the Scripture, Lord. And you give me wisdom and guidance this morning. We just thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for this opportunity. And we thank you for all those that are with us this morning. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. Amen. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you probably don't have to turn there, but 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the most important thing of Scripture is we have to study it. We have to study. It's not something that's just going to come and understand it. We're not going to just see it the first time. We can read a passage 52 times, and on that 53rd time, it's going to come to life. We have to continue to study. We have to continue to read Scripture. We have to dive in to the Word of God. And we brought it up last week. Wednesday night, we're going through the book of Acts, so it's very helpful. Richard's doing a great job in Sunday school going through the dispensations. And the book of Acts and the book of Corinthians were written almost at the same exact time period. So the first thing that you need to see is that the Apostle Paul was actually saved underneath the kingdom program, but he is the first one in the body of Christ. So it's a little bit hard to understand the transition period from the kingdom program into the age of grace. But I still think we have a lot of that going on here in the book of Corinthians as well. There's so many churches and there's so many people that want to try to implement 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or different signs or wonders or miracles. And we need to be very, very careful with that. We're going to jump up just a few verses. We'll start in verse 4 and work our way back down. But in verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And later on in this chapter, next week, we should get into the body of Christ. And it's the first time that the Apostle Paul or anybody ever mentions the body of Christ. You could not go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and find the body of Christ, because it's the first time that he mentions it. It continues on in verse 5, and he says, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That word administrations, you could actually change to dispensations. There's different administrations, but the same Lord. God is the same overall. And I think it's the best way to break it down, and Richard's doing a great job with it as well. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were under a certain set of circumstances. They had one rule, and one rule only, and that was, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Everything else was for them to enjoy. There was nothing that would be disobedient to them. They knew nothing of sin, but they were not to eat of that tree. And you all know the story. You all know what happened. And when they ate of that tree, did anything change? Yes. Everything changed. Death became, sin became, all things happened. They were kicked out of the garden. The rules have now changed, but God did not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That leads up to the flood. Noah and his family go into the ark. Now, when they come out of the ark after the flood, is it like it was when Adam and Eve came out of the garden? Again, everything was different again. God laid out other responsibilities upon them. They could kill animals and they could eat meat. Before the flood, they couldn't do that. So times have changed. Periods have changed. Rules have changed. That word dispensation is actually a household of rules. And in the dispensation of innocence, they had a certain set of rules. The dispensation of conscience, they had a different set of rules. But God never changed. And there are differences. That verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Verses 6 and 7, he continues on, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. There are gifts. You can jump down to verse 11. We're going to get to 8, 9, and 10, I promise. But verse 11, it says, "But all these worketh that one and the same selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Or another word there is differently as the Holy Spirit will. So many people in Christendom pray for certain things or desire certain things or they ask for certain things. But it's up to the Holy Spirit to give. And that's one thing I don't think we're ever called to say, I don't care what you ask for. I don't think we're ever designed to ask for certain things. The Holy Spirit has the wisdom. The Holy Spirit has the knowledge. You know, I think the best thing for us to do is, Lord, I'm here. Use me. And we move forward until that door closes. He's not going to speak to you audibly. He's not going to show you anything. He's not going to show you something. You know, my wife and I candidated at a church in Prattville. About 15, 14 years ago. I don't know. Long time ago. My wife did not like the rules that I was going by. I said, until the Lord closes the door, we continue moving forward. Thankfully, that church did not choose me, and I'm still married because she may have left me in that situation. I don't know. But in the age of grace, and then once we have the complete Word of God, we have to move forward until that door closes. That's the way the Holy Spirit leads. That's the way the Holy Spirit guides us. But let's jump back to 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10 says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues." You know, there's a lot of things here. And the first thing that I see, all nine of these, we have nine gifts here: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Every single one of these are a supernatural gift. You may say, well, knowledge, wisdom, and faith, based on the context and what's happening, I believe it's a supernatural gift. Yeah, jump over real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. Here he says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." The faith here is something that we can move mountains. I don't know any mankind that is able to have enough faith to move mountains. All nine of these are a supernatural gift that is given. Jump back with me to Mark 16:16 real quick. They were called to have supernatural gifts. This is about the only time the Apostle Paul brings up. There's one other passage that he talks about it a little bit. But all these signs are going to cease. Mark 16, verse 16. Start with verse 15. "He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." These signs are not for a few. These signs are not for the elect. These signs are not for the 12. These signs are for them that believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is tying back to the kingdom program, which we have here in verse 17. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." These are the healings that he's talking about. These are the miracles that he's talking about. But it's for the kingdom program. The minute that the Apostle Paul got saved from the transition of the kingdom program that will be set up in the future into the age of grace, If he wasn't able to do any of these things, nobody would have believed that he was a true believer. Jump over with me to 2 Corinthians 12:12. The Apostle Paul had to do some of these signs and wonders. Otherwise, nobody would have believed he was truly saved. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." The Apostle Paul, when he first got saved, he came on and he did things. He did healings. He did wonders. Look back with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I think this is where the wisdom and the knowledge and the power comes from in that scripture as well. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And he tells Peter, he says, "I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I truly believe they had the power to save other people. Now, as Richard said this morning, he should never be in control of that option. Because again, we have our human side of life. If I have a choice of who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, it's not going to be good. But Peter and the 12 and the kingdom program had that wisdom. They had that knowledge. They had that faith. Because that's what the Lord has given to them. But this is part of that transition period where we go from the kingdom program into the age of grace. You can see, and we'll talk about it in the next couple weeks, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about these signs shall cease. 13 verse 8 says, "Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." He's trying to explain to the Corinthians. And maybe I could put it this way. You know, when you go to school and you learn third and fourth grade math or arithmetic, and you come up here to algebra now, you don't really need third and fourth grade math anymore. The Word of God is complete. We have everything that we need. We don't need signs. We don't need miracles. We don't need wonders. Do I believe that Jesus Christ does miracles, signs, and wonders? Absolutely. But it's not through man, and it's not through us, and it's not through... And even speaking in tongues is a language. It is never a bunch of gibberish. The speaking of tongues created was at the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, they all spoke one language. They said, "Hey, let's build a tower up to heaven." And he confounded their language. He didn't make them all speak a bunch of gibberish. He confounded their language so they all spoke in their own tongue. And in Acts chapter 2, when they began to speak in tongues, they began to understand one another in their own language. Speaking in tongues is never a bunch of gibberish. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." When the Word of God was not complete, the 12 had to perform miracles, perform healing, perform all that. And in the kingdom program, everybody will be healed. It's not a select few. It's not you and not me. It's not everybody in the kingdom program will be healed going into the kingdom, thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. But the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Jump over with me to Ephesians chapter 4. It's about the only other time I think the Apostle Paul mentions. Ephesians chapter 4, you can start with verse 4 and go down. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that has ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, which I think we're done away with at this point, and some prophets, which are going to cease, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Because we have the entire complete Word of God, we have the complete Word of God. It's up to us to study it. It's up to us to allow Scripture to speak to us. It's up to us to allow, again, we got to have doctrine before we have emotions. So many people in the world today want to have a feeling. They want to feel the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to feel Him. We got to allow the Word of God and doctrine to speak first, and then the emotions to come along beside it. To me, the only gifts that are left, there's a lot of gifts, don't get me wrong, but evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's what's needed today. If we had more pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers, we'd be able to get the truth out there. So many people go to church for the fog machine and the music and the noise, and I want to see it, I want to feel it, I want to know that He's here. Men who are evangelists, we need to preach salvation so we can have the perfecting, so we can have the maturing of the believers. We talked about the babes that the Corinthians are, that they can get away from that and get into the meat of the Word. I don't know all that's going on up in Kentucky, at their Tennessee, wherever that church is, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I just hope that they're preaching the gospel. Again, when they get everybody into a room and get full of emotions and feelings and signs, and again, I don't know what's happening inside that church. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I just hope they're preaching the gospel of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And I think that's what he's telling the people here at Corinth. It's not about the signs. It's not about the wonders. It's not about what's happening, but it's about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The entire purpose for the church, the entire purpose for the people at Corinth, was to preach the gospel. These nine signs, or these nine spiritual gifts, I believe are still a part of the kingdom program. And that's why when we get into 1 Corinthians 13, he continues on and says they're going to cease. They're going to stop. Even in verse 14, he gets into it a little deeper. Talks about the gift of interpretation and different things, but we'll get to that as well. When the Word of God was and is complete, to me there's no longer a need for signs or wonders or miracles through man. Like I said, I do believe in miracles. I do believe that Jesus Christ can heal. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. It happens. But it's not laying on of hands, and it's not through tongues, and it's not through man. It's based on the Holy Spirit, which he says in verse 11. But all these that worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man differently as he will. It's up to the Holy Spirit. It's up to how the Holy Spirit wants to do it. There's not a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Some churches try to decipher the two differences. The minute you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are sealed until the day of redemption. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. That Holy Spirit that lives within you has the power to do whatever he wants to do based on his will, not based on what I do, or not based on my prayer, not based on how I handle it. The Holy Spirit has the entire power there. So that's where we're going to stop this morning. We'll dive into the body of Christ next week. It'll be a little bit easier next week, but we're going to stop there. And let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you for what we can learn from it. We just thank you that you speak to each and every one of us. We thank you for the wisdom that you do give us. Our faith is the faith of a mustard seed. And because of our faith, because of the Holy Spirit's faith, that gives us our salvation. We just thank you for that. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. Amen.